Eating is an emotional experience, which is why managing your weight needs to be a psychological one. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
All right, everybody, before we get started with this episode of Benched with Bubba, if you love the strategy of season-long fantasy sports and live for the short-term gratifications of DFS, then you have to try out Weekly Fantasy Sports WFS on Owner's Box. Head on over to rotoballer.com/box and sign up today. Weekly Fantasy Sports is the best of daily and season-long. It keeps you engaged through live drafting and new multi-week games. Owner's Box will also be paying out users who bring their friends on board. Watch the real money rewards pile up through their first ever three-tiered referral system. Add friends, create groups, and rank up to elevate the trash talk and competition to the next level. But that's not it. Owner's Box will be matching your first-time deposit of up to $500 for any depositors through January 4th. Just head on over to www.rotoballer.com/box and sign up today to claim your $500 bonus and join the new wave of weekly fantasy sports. Now, to this episode of Benched with Bubba. And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 361. I have a special guest joining us tonight, first-timer on the show. He's a busy man if you look at his resume, pitcher list, prospect 365, six-man rotation, does it all. He's also one of those friendly guys on Twitter that you can interact with. He's always a bunch of fun, just chatting it up and doing all kinds of other good stuff. You can find him on Twitter at C.A. Marcano. Carlos Marcano, how are we doing, my friend?
Hi, Bubba. I'm really, really doing fine. I'm so happy to be here, man. If anyone wants to be on updated of what's going on the fantasy and baseball anytime, I mean, this is one of the best places to get your stuff. So I'm really, really happy to be here.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I love having first-timers on my show, getting to know different people. That's one of the reasons I love doing this. And I've interacted with you a bit on Twitter, and I hit you up the second your article came out. I said, we got a great thing to talk about. So we'll talk about that and also other fantasy stuff, of course. I know you talked about it on other shows. Why don't you give the listeners a quick background on just your fantasy baseball, your baseball kind of history. What got you here?
Sure. No. I've said this, but being Venezuelan, I mean, baseball is just part of your life, a huge part of your life. Mm-hmm. Everyone, no matter where do you live in Venezuela or your age, you have to root for your team and be just up to date of everything that's happening on a baseball field. So that's like my main background, to be honest. And my father is a crazy baseball fan. And that's like what happens with a lot of people, you know. I've always been a really suffered Oakland Athletics fan. I don't know why, but yes, I am. Being from the, I don't know, since I'm an old dude, so I've been following the A's since, I don't know, 86, 87, the Gibson World Series. I had the unpleasure to listen to that live. So when the Dodgers beat the A's. So being an Oakland fan, I had to get into, you know, the analytics part of it really early on. And it's something that I always loved from the game. I'm an engineer, so numbers is my thing. So I like to talk about it. But I actually only started putting my stuff out for the public last year. So I'm an all new guy, if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, I love it, though. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no better time than the present to start going at it and having some fun and using your knowledge and seeing what you can learn. Because I think part of the fun is, like, I hate writing, but I always try to challenge myself each year. I'm going to write more because in writing, it's the process teaches me so much about things that I didn't do. I'm not anywhere near your level of looking at the stats and making metrics and that stuff. I joke about I make caveman analytics. Like, I just look at things and I figure it out, and then I trust people like yourself and many other brilliant minds to make it easier for me to understand, and then I'll play with it type stuff. So I enjoy
that. Don't undersell yourself, man. You're awesome. So
I appreciate it. But I love that your story about being in Venezuela, loving baseball, because I personally, I'm a fan that I love baseball first, fantasy. Like, I've been asked the question on, I don't know if it's SB Streamer show or someone else, that if I had to pick one, be a baseball fan or a fantasy baseball player, what would you do? I'd be a baseball fan, like, any day of the week. Yeah, totally. Because I can live and breathe, and, you know, you're probably just like me. If doesn't matter what game's on TV, if it's the only game, I'm probably going to sit and watch it. So that's fine. Sure. It's a great thing. So I get really into the Latin and South American baseball, just the passion that the fans bring, and even the players. Like, I'm a fan of the bat flip. I'm a fan of, like, let the guys have fun. Like, it's crazy. Sure. So there's a large part of me that's jealous that's like the baseball you knew first, not this kind of, you know, Americanized business model. Like, so that's pretty cool that you came this way, and then you picked the A's, which, hey, I get it. Before the Giants finally started winning, I thought we'd never win either. So I'm good with all that as well. The A's are going to get there someday. I get frustrated, man, because I have friends that are A's fans, and it's like, they're so close. It's like, make one or two more moves and you could do something, but they don't want to spend money. And it's tough. It's tough. I'm with you. I feel your pain. Let's put it that way.
Oh, thank you, man.
Like, I'm a Dolphins fan for football, so I get what you're saying. They'll never win either. They'll never will. They'll never win. But let's talk about some recent news, and then we'll get into your awesome recent article you put together, and we'll talk some hot starts and see where the evening takes us. But we're going to start with probably the biggest news that we're still waiting for a sure answer for, but we can make our speculations for sure. Fernando Tatis Jr., dislocated shoulder, basically. That's the easiest way to say it. It's much deeper than that, if you want to get medically induced by it. But I remember watching it live when I was recording with Toby on Monday, and it made me squeamish every time they showed a replay, because it was bad.
Right, that's ugly.
Yeah, and so you knew it wasn't good. The fact that the GM, AJ Preller, is trying to say, oh, yeah, it's a he'll be back in like 10 days. Yeah, no, he's probably going to have surgery if he wants to do it right. If you're a Fernando Tatis Jr. owner, what are you doing right now? Like, if you have an IL, you put him on the IL, obviously. But say you're in an NPC league and you don't have an IL, are you dropping him? Are you, like, what level of panic are we at right now?
So I'm pretty panic. I did my first RAS LAMP this year, and I got Tatis, and I'm pretty, you know, I cannot do anything about it there.
No,
pretty much. It's a best ball thing, and so I'm done there. And I actually don't have a lot of shares of him around, but I wouldn't, drop him. I would have to be, you know, really, really coerced to drop him, because there is a lot of uncertainty, and it looked so ugly that everyone thought when we saw that he was done for the year. Well, yeah. I did, to be honest.
So did I. I was with you. I'm like, surgery, call good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just 2022 for him. and I don't know what to think about the Padres, because their recent track records regarding injuries is not that great. Clevinger, that situation with him. There is Lamed also. I love the organization. They've put a really fun club there, but I'm not sure if they're sometimes over optimistic. And with injuries and this kind of injuries, it's like when someone goes to visit Dr. Andrews, and we know that that means Tommy John, you know. So I wouldn't be as optimistic, but I wouldn't drop him. There are not really that many options to to add, because everybody has already the you know the elite shortstops at this point and time. So I would it's a hold and see situation for me.
Yeah, it's definitely hold and see for now, but it's just I'm waiting for the surgery out 4 months and we just go, that was cool. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Looks like Kim's going to be playing shortstop for a while, which is good because there's kind of questions. Where is he going to play? You know, he came over from the KBO. Where is he going to play? Looks like he's got a spot now. He's looked kind of overwhelmed at times early on here, but maybe
every day. He was very overwhelmed by Gausman. Did you see a little bit of that? Yeah. Well, Gausman was really pretty nasty.
He's been good in two starts. I've been wrong on Gausman so far. I will fully admit that. Like, I'm right on the pitch mix. He has gone away from the full-time splitter thing, which scared me to begin with. But the velocity is still there, and it's being effective right now. So that's good
I'm
for
a
now.
Cheerleader for the dude.
I hope he does well. Trust me. That's why I kept saying every time I was kind of hesitant on him. I said, as a Giants fan, I hope I'm wrong on this one. Like, let's be wrong here. But Kim's going to be an interesting play. He's probably available in certain leagues. I'm still not running to go at him. Like you said, there's not a lot of great options. I guess the last scenario I would ask on Tatis, because I've seen this mentioned in certain spectrums, say you're in a league with trades. How would you go about, because you can't trade him for, you know, a dollar for a dollar. That's obvious. Like, what discount are you willing to take just to trade him and get something else?
Oh, my. That's a tough one. It would depend. How many months of someone else I'm going to get and provide, right? Because there's where the trade value is going to be. So, wow. I mean, you are not going to get the top shortstop for him. And I wouldn't look for that option, to be honest, because it would not satisfy anyone. I think so. And I think I would just fly with the waiver wire for a while and see, because I could probably get lucky and trade him and get something around, and then the other manager will have to handle his probably surgery later on. But who could I get?
That's the question.
It's gonna be I would fly on with the waiver wire a little bit.
Yeah, no, I think that's the best line of attack. And I'm just gonna say real quick, we don't have to discuss this, but while you were talking, they were showing a highlight from the Rockies Diamondbacks game that's going on right now. And Ketel Marte was running out of ground ball and started coming up limp and fell to the ground. So not good. So we're not, I don't know what it is. Just keep an eye on that. Hopefully it's minor, because that's going to sting. Just keeps getting better. The hits keep coming. Bellinger. Cody Bellinger has missed the last couple games. He got slid into. He basically got cleated, the old term. He got cleated. Sliding into home plate. It was totally innocent. The pitcher was not trying to hurt him. For what everybody wants to try to angles they want to use there. But he's missed a couple games. There's kind of talk that maybe he goes on the IL, maybe he doesn't. Obviously, you're not dropping Cody Bellinger. I get that. But are you, say for instance, we have to set our lineups for the weekend, and it's still kind of this up in the air situation. Are you going to bench Cody Bellinger, or are you going to play Cody Bellinger?
I'd bench him.
Yeah,
that's right. To be honest. Yeah, I'd give him, because. And this is so bad, because I'm expecting a big season from Cody Bellinger, because he had this lame 2020 for him, you know. We have to put everything in context. True. It's like the same situation with Chris Bryant, you know. They had this bad 2020s, but injuries were a major part of the reason they were not as usual, the usual good they are, and now these I think it's a calf injury, right? Something like that.
Yep.
So those are nagging injuries, and they tend to linger pretty much. But so I hope that the Dodgers just give him enough rest. I mean, they don't need him right now. Dodgers are stupid. You know, depth, the all the guys they have, they and it's just beginning. I just hope that Roberts give him, if he needs a week, I mean, he should, they should give it to him, let him go through it and get a full recover guy later on.
Yeah, they should just put him on the IL personally, because like you said, they have all that depth. It's crazy. Even without putting guys on the IL, if you look up just their lineups pretty much every day, it's a different lineup because they're letting guys rest. Like today, Mookie Betts hits a home run in the ninth on Tuesday, and he's out Wednesday with a sore back. It's like these guys are just – they're rotating out and so much because they have so many depth pieces, like you mentioned. Just put them on the IL, call a kid up for a week, see what happens, because what's it going to hurt? What's it going to hurt? It's silly, but I just wanted to bring that up because it's been that's kind of an interesting talking point. A sad one on Tuesday night, James Paxton, a guy like we all want to root for because when he's healthy, the talent level's through the roof. He made it an inning and a third before getting yanked, and he already had the start pushed back before this. It's not looking good. It's an elbow discomfort is what they're calling it so far, which never usually ends in a well situation. And they're already
scary.
That's very scary. They've already put Nick Margavicius in the rotation. There's discussions of maybe bringing the youngster Gilbert up. How are you dealing with that James Paxton situation?
I mean, I was interacting with some guys yesterday. Yeah. And I was, because I wasn't aware of exactly what happened. And someone said, I think it was Max Greenfield, who said, no, it was a sore arm, forearm, I think, that was the first situation, but now it's an elbow. So that road usually leads to a Tommy John surgery. Yeah. And man, this guy can get the break. Yeah. I mean, with all the talent and all the he goes now to the Mariners, and it looked like he was finding a place, and now this, I mean, it's pretty unfortunate, and the bad thing is that's another wait and see situation. You know, you can't do anything else. One silver lining is that if we get to see Gilbert, that's pretty cool, because that kid is good, and he could get, you know, some experience, but that's not the way you want it to see it going. You know, just, you cannot replace Paxton from at least not the Mariners. They unless they get I don't know. No, they cannot do it right now. Yeah,
it'll be interesting to see what they do. Like I said, Margavicius is in there. I am curious about Gilbert. I've heard people have already been trying to pick him up last week. We'll see how he goes this week in Fab. We know the talent's there. Just what do the Mariners want to do? The other interesting part of it is they were going with a six-man rotation. So do they try to keep the six-man? Do they go to five? How's that going to work? It's going to be a lot to watch, because it's going to be very, very interesting there. You mentioned the Padres' injury history. Not saying Trevor Rosenthal was the Padres' fault, but, you know, the last good thing we saw was Trevor Rosenthal with the Padres, and now all of a sudden he's injured with the A's. And right now the reports are he's weighing surgery that would put him out 3 to 4 months. And I thought it's not thoracic outlet, but similar to thoracic outlet, because that would be way more than 3 to 4 months. So he's pretty much, for me, I'm just chalking it up. He's probably out for the season. It's going to be tough. We have Diekman. We have Romo. We have Wendelken. If you had to
Wendelken.
Okay, so that's where you're kind of leaning. That before the season started, he was kind of the favorite, it seemed like.
Yeah. And I think he's like the guy that has the best package of all them all. He's really underrated, to be honest. I know he's liked by a lot of people in the industry, but it looks like the A's are the ones that underrate him, because they are not giving him the chance to close. I mean, I love Sergio Romo, but come on. I think Romo is past his time, you know.
Yep.
I love the guy. He's been a great baseball player for a while. But, I mean, if you have these other options, I think it's time to get – even Diekman. I wouldn't be mad if they give them – and I'm talking like a fan right now, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you.
From the A's. I would love to see Wendelken closing in Oakland.
I love it too. I could see – I think he is the better closer. what I could see the A's doing is doing, like, if there's lefties coming up one inning, it's Diekman. If it's righties, it's Wendelken.
Yeah.
So in the grand scheme of things, it probably favors Wendelken overall. But I think there'll be certain nights where all of a sudden it's the seventh inning, here comes Wendelken to kind of get out of a big deal. And here's a great question here. The doctor's in the house, Mr. Carter. He asks, what about A.J. Puck? Because he just talking got called up.
Amazing guys. He's one of, I don't know, my favorite people in the world, yeah. The doc. Puck is always, you know, the question mark. He haven't done that bad.
I think he pitched yesterday. I want to say on Tuesday. I think. Yeah.
To be honest, I didn't check.
Yeah, I don't know the box like how he did, but I think he did good. I know that sounds bad, but
yeah,
I remember he came in for like an inning or two. I think.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and he has three innings and he haven't received an error run. Yeah, he's starting with the right foot, and if he can, you know, increase his workload in a good fashion for him, because I'm so scared about his getting hurt again. Mm-hmm. He's track record in that direction. I've been talking with some other A's fans. Believe me, there are a few of us still around.
There's a lot of you guys. People don't understand it. It's an army. It really is.
Yeah, yeah. It's a silent. But and they are crazy about seeing Puck getting more pitching time. I'm not that enthusiastic because I think I'd rather see him getting a slow increase in his workload. Don't push it right away. It's not that we have the greatest rotation in the world. I'm sure we could get, we need some help, and Puck would be great. But I'd rather see him develop and in terms of not pushing his to any injury, especially coming up from this weird 2020 season. I mean, he didn't have that much innings and though, but I would rather see him getting better innings later in the year than pushing him from the get-go.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's a good call by the doc there, bringing Puck up, because he did get called up recently. You mentioned three innings. I was preaching during way early in draft season because I was concerned about his workload too. Like, the talent is so good. They keep rushing him back. He keeps getting hurt. It's like, I said, make him your Josh Hader for the year. Like, let him come in for an inning or two late in the games. Let him get those innings under his belt. Let him throw 75 innings this year or something, and then develop him into more next year. It's either that or you use an opener with him. But I'd rather use that talent in the back end of the bullpen, personally. We'll see. Maybe these injuries are going to force the A's hand. I don't know. I do think he's worth a fab pickup or bid this week to see what you can do. Because if he ever does get an established role, it's going to get very expensive to get A.J. Puck. So if you can try to get him now, I do like that idea. Another guy that might be coming back from injury pretty soon is Zach Gallen, because, you know, the freak injury, fractured forearm when he was swinging a bat. The reports were anywhere from like a month to 3.5 to 4 months. We didn't know. There was no set timetable. It was really all over the board. But he's through his second bullpen session, through 60 pitches, feels fine. Going to throw another one, I think, next week, early next week. And if that goes well, he could be back by the end of April. That's a win for people that took a chance on him. How excited are you? Are you interested in Gallen? Are you still kind of hesitant because the injury is the injury? Let's see some more.
This is a two-part thing for me. I would love him to start pitching right away as soon as possible because he's a really good pitcher. But for his ADP, I wasn't overly excited about him. So I didn't get any shares anywhere from Zach Gallen because I very personally I think I could get better, cheaper options a little bit later with kind of the same return. So, but if he gets healthy, well, he will have the chance to get to prove me wrong, and I'm all for it. I hate when I might be right on something because of an injury. That's not the way I want things to. I want to be proved wrong, you know, in equal chances. So I would love to. He's a really good pitcher. I just think that for his ADP, you could get some better value.
I'm 100% with you. Like going into 2020, I was all about him. He was going around pick 150 to 160. I was like, sweet, be my SP 4, 3, whatever. I'm in on that. But yeah, you had to pick him like 35 to 45 or 50. So he's your SP 1 or 2. And that's not what I picture Zach Gallen being, at least not yet. So I'm 100% with you on that respect. It was tough. I don't think I have any shares this year, and I had a ton last year. It's all about the price point. And that's just the way things go in drafts, unfortunately. And I'm with you there. I am curious to see how he comes back, because watching Bumgarner get lit up and everybody else in that rotation, they could definitely use him out there. So we'll see how Arizona handles that. Another one to I typed it in wrong. Eduardo Rodriguez is returning Thursday to pitch for the Boston Red Sox after a bullpen session earlier in the week. And I even read a point today on from the manager Cora, said there's no limitations, which kind of surprised me a little bit. But he's coming back. Tanner Houck is going back to the alt site, but I expect him back soon. What's your expectations for Erod? This is a guy I love rostering year after year. He's a bulldog. He's going to give you innings. But we also have to be realistic. He's been hurting out for a year.
Yeah. And you mentioned it perfectly. He's an innings eater. You know, he can throw the ball constantly when healthy. And that's something that this year is pretty valuable. You know, volume, it's something that it won't get easier for anyone to get volume from your pitchers, especially the way that the teams are handling the situation after 2020. Erod is a pretty talented pitcher, and God knows that Boston desperately needs a good starter pitcher. Eovaldi cannot do it all by himself. And as much as he will have this question mark too about this coming back from, I remember it's myocarditis or something, right? It was a...
Yeah, his heart condition due from COVID. And
that sounds, but as you said, it's surprising that he will not have any limitations. It's positively surprising. So I wouldn't try to get to fab him, to be honest, because there might be some other options that would be on the safer side, you know, but. I wish he can prove me wrong. He's Venezuelan too, so I want to root for him.
Yep, I love Erod. I love his passion. I love his attitude. Yeah. I'm rooting for him big time. I'm hoping he comes and gets it done, because he's so much fun out there. You can see he gets fired up, and I just love baseball like that. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually really looking forward to that Thursday start. It's going to be a day game in Camden Yards. Going to be a fun one. So that should be fun. A couple closer situations, because why not? They change every single day, it seems like. It's like literally by the time I release this podcast, what we talk about right now might be completely different. Jesse Hahn, well, let's go farther back. In draft season, everyone's drafting Greg Holland, thinking he's the closer in Kansas City. Closer to the end of draft season, Wade Davis started to get a little buzz. Wade Davis gets an early save. So Wade Davis gets picked up in fab everywhere this weekend. Now Jesse Hahn gets a save. It's like a revolving door. If you had to pick someone in Kansas City, who do you pick?
Oh man, that's as you said. Picking closers these years is, you know, Russian roulette. It's so crazy. But you know who a guy that I really like in that bullpen is Scott Barlow.
He's the best, probably. He's probably the best option. Yeah.
Yeah, and I understand he might be a good option for high leverage situations in earlier innings, you know, 7th, 8th, you know, gruesome stuff there. But I mean, I don't see any other reliable option besides him. Barlow, I think he's really underestimated. He has a lot of qualities that make him that could make him a really good closer. He's been, you know, a little bit high on the walks sometimes, but he has the talent and on the staff to make it and to be an elite closer if they would decide to use him like that. So I would put my chips on him if it would depend on me.
No, I like the Barlow call, because even last year's numbers, he's probably their best reliever. Just didn't get all the save chances. I think a lot of it's he's one of the few lefties in that bullpen, so it kind of limits him there. But I'm 100% with you. it, by the end of the season, I wouldn't be shocked if he had the most saves. I think he should. Yeah. I'm just, man, they just keep moving these people around. It's crazy. But I would love to see Barlow get that. I'm with you there. In saves holds leagues, I have Barlow everywhere. So I think he's the best guy, like you said. So big fan there.
He deserves he could be a really good speculative pick.
That's a great point. That's something that Toby and I talked a lot about on Monday with all the closers getting taken in Fab. Like, everyone's spending money. It's if you're kind of nervous to spend that money, go the speculative route. Like, for everyone that's spending on Wade Davis, go get Barlow for like $2. Like, he went and got Wendelken everywhere where everyone went and bought Diekman and stuff for this, like, just for the same reason. Yeah. Because in the grand scheme of things, these situations that we thought changed over the weekend, they're going to be committees all year. Like, I don't see one guy taking over most of them. Let's put it that way, most of them. So it's a great point you make. Go take some speculative bids, see what happens. Worst comes to worst, you drop them and it only costs you a couple dollars. It's fine. The last one we'll talk about, another guy that got picked up a ton this past weekend, Chris Devenski, blows the save on Tuesday, and he's on the personal IL, not COVID-related IL. That's the most we know as of Tuesday night. So they're supposed to talk to the media after the game. We'll see. Joaquin Soria goes to the IL. Ginkle's there. Peacock got called up. They like him a lot. If you had to go into this weekend, who are you trying to add for future saves?
I wouldn't try to get anyone.
That's a good point.
From that team. I mean, it was already a bad situation. So I think it would be, you would make things worse trying to speculate there. I would wait for the fog to clear and then do a move. Maybe I'm being over, you know, cautious there, but I just wouldn't. I don't think that, there will be any good return from trying to speculate there. My thought.
It's tough. Yeah, I think I'd rather take a chance on Scott Barlow or AJ Puck or someone than try to go and figure out the Arizona. If you're going to bid on Arizona, do the keep them honest and, like, don't bid a ton. Just be like, hey, I'll put a couple dollars out there. If no one else thinks it's worth a shot, we'll all grab them for a couple bucks and see what happens. But don't break the bank. Exactly. Don't break the bank. It's not worth it. Because in the grand scheme, they might not win a lot of games to begin with. Let's talk about your recent article. I love these articles. PitcherList has tons of them all the time. I've had Richards on a ton talking about a lot of his hitting metrics he's come out with. I've had Mike Cajetto on here talking about stuff. I love the PitcherList people. They're awesome. And there's really nothing to complain about them. But when you came out with this article, I was just like, this is great. Like, this is cool, because what I like about, you know, as we've seen metrics come out, you know, it's this kind of incorporating these couple things and these couple things. But as we keep developing them, it's more and more things. So you can start kind of getting rid of a few things or kind of using them a little sparingly, which I like. You came out with SPEX or is it SPEX?
SPEX is fine.
Okay, I just want to make sure. I don't want to mispronounce this thing that you spent a lot of time working on here. So SPEX, and it combines a lot of metrics. So I'll let you have the floor. Like, what made you want to dig in on this more? What kind of brought you to this and all that kind of good stuff?
Sure. Actually, it's a matter of simplifying stuff. I love simple stats for pitching. And I know we have all this huge and great amount of information every day. Statcast is a blast. Every Brooks Baseball and Fangraphs, they have so many things that I can't complain. The more, the better for me from a personal point of view. But I know this can be overwhelming. Sometimes it's hard to focus on one thing, and maybe you're focusing on something and you lose perspective on something else that could matter also. So that's tough. That's a tough point to do analysis. So what I tried to do is I went to the basics. What are the simpler but better stats that we usually use to forecast pitching? And it's all about, at the beginning, with strikes and balls. What's the potential for a pitcher to strike out guys, and how does he manage to avoid giving walks? That's like the first thing, right? So if you want, or a traditional and very useful way to use that is K minus what percentage, right? That's like the stepping stone that we usually use because it works. It's simple as that. Usually guys that do well in this stat, they tend to perform well. So we've been using, everybody has been using this for a while. I used to use before K's minus BB's divided by N speech. Then I went to K percentage minus BB percentage, but it's more or less the same thing, right? And the other thing that I've liked to use for a while, it's been ERA estimators like Sierra. I believe that it's a great way to try to put things that the pitcher cannot control apart and see what's his overall contribution to his own cost. So I used to use that, and Sierra works. If you apply it in a good context, right? It's all about context by the end. Yeah. So I went digging about 3, 4, 5 stats and try to see how do they correlate it with future performance. And I don't want to get too mathy with it, but it's just what was the way that this stat could predict as much as possible future performance. So I started digging around, and I had previous versions of these stats. And then when I started working with the guys at PitcherList, they have an amazing data team, which it's incredible what these guys are doing. And this great dude, Jeff Nicholas, had some good ideas. He ran some tests. So we end up using 5 stats, five main stats. K minus BB percentage, PCRA, which I will explain a little bit later on, CSW, which is like, you know, one of the
greatest, best stats out there.
it's amazing, and it's homegrown over there in the pitcher list, of course, and zone percentage and O-swing percentage. And the thing about this is that I try to get some stats that will give you an idea of how does the pitcher dominates by power. That's the way I like to call it. That means striking out people, basically. And that comes from CSW and K minus BB percentage. But I also combine them with the command and control stats or discipline stats, which are zone percentage and O's swing percentage. You know, how capable the pitcher is to put the ball in the zone, and how can he make the guys chase the ball out of the zone and getting swings out of it. Because if we only focus on one kind of stats, we will overlook what some pitchers that dominate in a different way, you know. And that's something that happens pretty often when we are ranking and we're focusing only on something, because at the end it might be a subjective process. You try to focus on some stuff, but then you decide, okay, I will use this for this kind of pitchers, and I will do this, but it that will give you a biased perception of what you're doing. So I combine them. And we used PCRA, which is another ERA estimator. And I really recommend reading Connor Carter's work. He's an amazing guy at Six Man Rotation. Mm-hmm. He's a brilliant mind. He's the one that came with DHH percentage, dynamic hard hitting percentage, which I think it's a lot better than hard hit percentage by itself. And I would recommend anyone looking into it because it's really powerful. But he also has this PCRA ERA estimator, which is the better ERA estimator and it's tested and tested, and it you cannot find at this moment, at least for the public. I guess teams, they might be using some stuff that we are not aware of. So I won't be that you know, crazy to think that's not happening. But available for the public, I think it's one of the better, and that's what it. I use it like a balance inside the stat. So Jeff ran a lot of testing to see how should we combine them, and we came up with this formula, which is in the article, and we get a number from 1 to 100, and the idea is to rank pitchers according to that number. And it's something that we can apply every season, so you can compare from one season to another. And the idea is to make it as simple, as useful as possible, you know. So you can use it now and compare with what the pitcher did last year and things like that. So you can see progress or not in that regard. And that's pretty much, you know, what we've been doing the past 6 months around that.
That's just amazing to me how you guys, because these metrics you mentioned, you know, CSW, I had Alex on when he came out with this a couple years ago now, and we were just blown away. It's like, sounds bad when I say it, but when you listen to the conversation, it makes sense. It's such an easy stat to kind of, once he lays it all out there, like, oh, wait, that makes sense. Like, look at this and this and divide, like, that's a great estimate. Yeah. Like, yes, that makes sense. Why did we? That's like him and Nick joke about it. Like, why did we never do this before? Like, it seems so simple. And it's amazing. And now it's, you know, you got the leaderboard and it's on Savant now, and it's everywhere you go. I know we reference Brand it drafts, all the. Dude. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. And it's such a great tool, like you mentioned, because that's for a guy like me that likes the simple stats, that wants it kind of broken down. It's pretty simple. This guy either gets a called strike or a swinging strike this often. That's usually pretty good when it's a certain number. That's pretty simple. Yeah. So that's a great one. The K to walks, a good comparison, like to use together, make a ton of sense. And the K to walks, like one of the, you know, the ancients, that's the go-to. We're going to this. Yeah. So you're bringing those together. That's good. Just kind of show that I was taking notes while you were talking here. So it was that was the strikeouts part of it. But then I like how you use
K minus walks percentage.
Yes. Yes, with CSW. So I like that. Yeah, percentage. Good point. I like that quite a bit. And then you get to the discipline. And I love this because people either like they use swings, like swing percentage or O swing. They don't factor in the zone as well when they're doing both, it seems like. So you're giving them benefit for finding the zone, but also when they go out of the zone, how much do they get them to chase, basically? So that's a great point as well. And then obviously Connor's works ridiculous. I've had him on the show once before, and I need to do it again, but I'm like intimidated to have him on because this guy's like a genius, and you sit there and you just listen to him explain things, and I'm like, where'd you even start with that? Like, it's crazy.
It's cool.
But his metrics, like you said, they've been tested and tested and tested, and his dynamic art hit rate is one of the coolest things I've ever seen, and this PCRA, obviously, it's pretty darn perfect, like you said. It's pretty much the best of the best. Let's bring it back to the front real quick. So you're using like a lot of these metrics you compare to Sierra, obviously. And that's been kind of one of the, you know, there's the FIPs, the XFIPs, the Sierras, XERAs. Sierra is kind of the go-to of the closest to what we can actually use situation to be predictable. So you're making this SPEX metric. How effective is it looking compared to these other metrics that are out there right now?
So what I wanted is that it has to be better than the component parts by itself. That was the goal. Okay. You know, we were not looking to compare it with anything else. No, we would just wanted to make it, you know, more powerful than just using the single stats by themselves.
That makes sense.
And it is. It's a small percentage better. But it is, you know. And while we were doing the article and we were discussing, well, how good does it has to be better? You know, 1% better, 2% better, any percentage. And we came to a conclusion that it doesn't matter how little it is. The thing is that it encompasses a lot of stuff that the single stats do not. For example, Marco Gonzalez. Marco Gonzalez was is a really great pitcher in terms of, because he's a control freak. He's really good. If you only use the power stats, that's what I like to call, you won't get Marco Gonzalez anywhere in your rankings. And he's a very useful pitcher, even if he's had not the best starts this year. But if you can overlook Marco Gonzalez, if you only use just a couple of stats. But if you, when you look at this, I hate the term, but it's like holistic, you know, that you won't overlook the Marco Gonzalez's of the game. And that's that was the big challenge behind the specs. For example, Kevin Gausman. Kevin Gausman is like the poster boy for specs. And he was the reason that I started digging deeper in with the previous versions of specs, because last year I drafted Kevin Gausman everywhere and the return was amazing. I got him for free almost everywhere, and he had a really good season comparing it with the price that he was available, right? And it was all because this version of spec told me that we were overlooking Kevin Gausman. So that's like the main idea. Let's not overlook some pitchers that other way they would be unnoticed. And that's what, you know, kickstart everything around it.
I like it. I like it. You have a chart in here, 2018 versus 2019. Did we just question, because 2020 was so short? Did we just want to go with the two full seasons? I'm assuming.
Yeah, I would recommend using 19 and 20 together.
Okay, gotcha.
Because I think it will yield better results, and also we haven't done in season testing to see how soon does it stabilizes. So we wanted to be, you know, as responsible as possible with that. The more innings for the moment, the better. So it's wiser to use 19 and 20 together.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
That's something we're working on, and we should have an update, I hope soon, regarding the use in season.
That'd be cool. That'd be really fun, because that's one of the discussions we have a lot as analysts and even as fantasy players in general. It's all these cool tools we have, like even just look at Savant's basics, the barrels, the hard hits, for all these different metrics. When is it applicable? That's always like the question. What's the proper sample size? Like, obviously hitters have more at bat, so you'd think it kind of goes quicker, but pitchers, you pitch every fifth day. Maybe you throw 5 to 6 innings. Like, what's the number that you go, okay, this is real? Like, that's the challenge, and that'd be fun to know when it is, because then when you're in season, you can kind of go, maybe you find your in-season Kevin Gausman all of a sudden. He's like, okay, this guy stands out a lot more than he should type thing. So what do we have here? So that is quite intriguing. I'm looking forward to that. I'd imagine I know the answer to this. Yeah,
it's really tricky.
A lot of back testing, I imagine. I'm pretty sure I could guess the answer to this, but I'll ask anyways. When you guys really fine-tune this thing, which it's pretty darn awesome already, do you imagine it's going to have its own leaderboard on the site, kind of like CSW and other stuff does?
Oh, man, I hope so. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I hope so. But everything has its organic way of going around.
True.
People has to use it and has to believe in it, and it has to prove itself. And I'm doing my part trying to put it out together. I'm keeping this leaderboard. I think I can put together a better dashboard for the moment by myself. And I love to share it. And for example, this year, if Nathan Eovaldi and Kevin Gausman keep doing the stuff they are doing for the moment, it will be a good way of practically testing specs, for example, things like that. So there's one guy that I'm hoping for better results, like Andrew Heaney, and he was blowed up in his first start. Of course, Chicago is a leftist killing machine. Yeah. So I don't want to say that was the reason. So good thing it's a long season, and if it's healthy, he will have the time to prove himself. For example, and Specs rates very well Aaron Nola. And it would be my Cy Young candidate. Well, he with my friend Corbin Burns, he will be one and two. They should be at the top of the Cy Young by the end of the year, according to expect. So let's see. I have no problem of giving it enough time to be mature enough to be widely available.
Yeah, and I don't blame you at all, because there's enough going on these days in the fantasy world that if you throw it out there and it's not fine-tuned yet, because honestly, it's like you said, it's a new metric. It's you've back-tested it, but let's see it in current time. And there's probably – it's anything that you make, there's going to be a hiccup at some point, because there's going to be something that you thought of it all, and somehow it's like, okay, I didn't think of that. That's true. Good point. Yeah. Okay, let me fix this real quick. Not everybody's very good at just saying, hey, by the way, can you check on this? It's more like, no, it was wrong. But I get it. Definitely. It's like it's your baby type thing, and you want to make sure it's ready to go out into the world type deal before you just let it go.
Totally.
I'm looking forward to it, though. You mentioned Gossman. You mentioned Eovaldi, guys that we were very talked about guys this year. Big Aaron Nolan, Corbin Burns fan, obviously. Were there any other guys that, like, maybe in the Gossman area or farther down where it's like, I never would have even thought about them, and they stood out to you this year?
So, I mentioned Andrew Heaney.
Yes, you mentioned Heaney. Yeah.
Heaney's a – there was Carlos Carrasco, but unfortunately
– he
got hurt. He was really well-liked by Specs. Guys like – well, there's Frankie Montes. I mean, he's fairly well regarded there. Scott Barlow, talked about him.
There we go.
Yeah, I hope he can get the saving chances. Let me go right really quick through the list. Mike Myers from the Angels.
Ooh, okay.
He could be a really good closer but. I mean, it's a matter of chances, right? But he is also well regarded there. And Tyler Glasnow, and this is a thing that not many people is really, confident, because he's a two-pitch pitcher and things like that. But I'm regretting not having enough Tyler Glasnow shares, to be honest. And he was better regarded than, for example, Gerrit Cole.
Really? And, I'm looking forward to seeing. I'm not even critiquing you. I'm just looking forward to seeing this list, because I believe what you're doing. I saw these other lists. It all makes sense. So I love seeing stuff like that.
Saucita, the difference is not that big, to be honest.
The fact that they're there, it's a good conversation. It like you said, it makes you at least look into them more and go, okay, what am I missing here?
That's what we need to, something that makes us go a little bit deeper into some particular play-in that we might be overlooking. That's where you usually find these gold nuggets that maybe someone else is missing,
No, and that's why I love it. That's why I love these metrics, because, you can scroll through and you go, okay, yeah, DeGrom's here. Yeah, well, that means your metric works. That's good. we do these things, but then you mention, wait a minute, this guy's over Gerrit Cole. Okay. Yeah. Cole probably finishes better, but okay, so why? Let's look at it. Let's talk about it. Let's figure it out. I like that.
Yeah.
That's good stuff, because if anything, the fact that they are close, but maybe you can get that glass now three rounds later, and maybe you're sitting there going, okay, I want to be different. I don't want to go pocket aces. I'm going to go get bats now, and I can get Glasnow, who, if my metric's correct, which it seems to be proving correct, Glasnow's still pretty darn good. Like, this is that's where it becomes very beneficial, I think.
Yeah.
And that's why I like this kind of stuff.
So that's why this year, for example, I went, my SP1 was Corbin Burns, and you could get him cheaper than a lot of other guys. And you can concentrate on hitters early on and get, you know, your big guns in there earlier and save your later picks for pitchers that will give you, you know, good return.
Yeah, things I got like about that. I love that. I love it. So you're going to test it out this year. You're going to release it to the public eventually, like you said. I'm very, very much looking forward to that. And we're going to have some fun with that. Is the goal – what will – never mind. I won't ask what the goal is. What is the goal for you by the end of this year? Where do you want specs to be?
Everywhere.
I like that. Honest. I like that.
I mean, if it works, it should be, you know, something that everyone in the community could use. I mean, the more information, the better for everyone. So,
oh, definitely.
I'd love to be all around and. Maybe I don't know, Nick or Alex would allow me to have it on our leaderboards in pictures.
If not, a Google Sheet works for me. That's all I'm saying. But I just think it's great because anytime we can do research, like I said, we can kind of pick things apart. Like I had Aaron Sassetta on a couple of weeks. I have him on once a year when he does his updates to Aces. And it's the same idea. It's, okay, why did this guy stand out? Because he uses his different metric there. Now you have your metric here, which your metric uses a lot of the tools I like to use. So instead of when I'm breaking down a player on a podcast, I start running through 12 different things. I can just go, hey, his specs here. And if you've listened enough or you know enough, you know I've already incorporated these five things and we're good. So I don't have to like sit there and spew it out every time I talk about every player. So I like that quite a bit. I like that a lot. Hey, and if it keeps producing, like you said, it'll probably be next to dynamic art hit rate on the pitcher leaderboard. Just throwing it out there. Just, it's a good chance. So you never know.
I think it's already on Alex Chamberlain's leaderboard, dynamic hard hit rating.
Yes, it is. That's what I'm saying. So so specs could be right next to it on there somewhere.
Let's hope so.
Who knows? That'd be fun. Yeah, who knows? Who knows? I like the humility, Carlos. I like it. It's a good look for anybody. But we will definitely chat about this again as it continues to develop. I'm looking forward to that. But let's get to some hot starters. We'll talk about a couple of these guys. We'll wrap up and enjoy the rest of our evening here. But there's one that I know you wanted to talk about, and I'm very excited you mentioned his name because I was gung-ho as an SP3 for me all season. People kept telling me, Zach Wheeler can't strike guys out. You're going to have to play with ratios. Philadelphia. I'm like, the dude can pitch, guys. Just trust me. He can pitch. Just let's see. So you've been doing some research on him. What is it? Are you a believer in this big, you know, 10-strikeout debut that we saw from Zach Wheeler?
Sure. And it's not based only on one start. I went to the spring training numbers, which I know it's easy to dismiss, but there are things like ratios, especially strikes and walks and things like that, that they tend to work the same way whenever you look at them. And I did this Twitter thread these days where I saw that this amazing CSW, for example, that we saw in the first start, it's something that he's been carrying from spring training and also from the late starts in 2020. So it's not something that just came out of the air or something. No, he's doing something. And to be honest, I haven't spotted what was this that he did to get into that. I hope I find it before, because I plan to produce something for the weekend, an article on him. And something clicked with Zach Wheeler. We can see his CSW from the 2021, including spring training, went up. His K minus BB percentage went up. He also, he's producing the contact he's receiving from batters. It's weaker since the spring training. So I firmly believe that Zach Wheeler is for real. Greinke is for real too, but in this case, Wheeler. And I think that if you had the chance to get him at the price he was going on, you did a hell of a you got a really good bargain because he will probably end up SP2 this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. I love everything about him. And one major thing you mentioned there that I don't think people give him credit for, because they always say, well, he pitches in Philadelphia, the hitter's ballpark. He limits contact so well, at least hard contact. And people just don't give him credit for that because he doesn't strike out enough guys, so much balls in play. Like, I get like 20% of their logic, but they're missing the big picture to me. And that's how effective he is at what he's doing. So it's kind of like the Framber Valdez thing is people said, well, he gives up too much contact. His ground ball rate and his soft contact's through the roof. So, but I'm also a believer. I get it. So we'll see. I'm hoping Wheeler continues to deal. I think he's very good. He's going to have a couple rough starts because that's what he does. Because he does have those games where the contact gets away from him. But overall,
he pitches a lot of innings too. So that's extra valuable this year too. So that has to count. And just to add a small thing about him. He was not loved by specs before because he didn't have the striking ability, let's call it that way. But he didn't go to the bottom of the list because his zone percentage and his O swing percentage was some of the best for any pitcher in the league. So that kept him, middle of the of the pack. Now that he's
striking out guys.
So he went like, I did some exercise and he could be up more than 20 positions in the rank. So that's pretty good stuff that we might see from Wheeler this year.
Yeah, that'd be outstanding. I'd be a big fan of hoping that continues to climb. Let's talk about a fun one here. Popular name, like, he's a popular name when you click on the search bar on Fangraphs, and before you type in a letter, he's the top searched player.
Yeah.
And that's Akil Baddoo. And I've been asked questions about him on previous pods. I've been honest. I didn't know who he was before spring training. Couldn't have told you because I'm not a major prospect guy. When you look at his overall stats, he hasn't played above A-ball. He was at the alt site in 2020. His A-ball stats his minor league stats were okay. Nothing great that made you want to like run to go get him. But he is producing to start the year. That's the nicest way I can say it. He is producing very well. And he's getting to play every day now, it seems like, at least the last couple of days here. Are you buying in on this? Because it's hard for me to buy in on a player that really hasn't had a ton of experience, especially when people yell at me when I say they should play Bobby Witt, but people say he doesn't have experience. So what's your thoughts on Baddoo?
So I love the kid. I mean, I love these stories where a kid out of nowhere comes and does these amazing stuff. These are the things that being a baseball fan before a fantasy baseball fan makes my heart happy.
It's a great storyline.
for sure. Now, saying that, I think we're looking at this year's Randy Arozarena in terms that he came out of nowhere, not exactly the same. And I'm not saying that Randy is bad, but they have to prove themselves. So there's a long way to go. I want Akil to kill it, to be honest, because those kind of stories just are the best. He will have the good thing is, as you said, he will have the time to prove himself because he's getting the at-bats. And while he stays hot, he will be consistently betting. And it's not that that lineup has way too much, people on the road and blocking him or something, But the thing is that when it's like when we talk about, I think the sophomore year, you start hot and everything is beautiful and wonderful. But when you get cold, because you're going to get cold, this is a game of streaks and you will have hot and cold streaks. That's the moment that we are going to see what Akil Baddoo is made of, and that's when the inexperienced part gets into it. And that's when things, get into the right perspective. Yeah. So let the kid play. I'm not drafting him or picking him anywhere, but I want to see him succeed.
We're on the same page here because I love the story. It's fun to watch him. I love energy like he brings. Everything he does, it's fun. The Tigers have no reason not to play him right now. Like you said, the at-bat should be there. But I'm a believer, and we're seeing it with Randy right now. These guys, a lot of them, not all, but a lot, they'll come out swinging hot because there's no scouting report. They're throwing fastballs to see if they can hit fastballs. They're doing this and that. Once the scouting report comes around, like you were saying, oh, he's got a hole in his swing here. Okay, how do you address Tequil? Like that's what separates the four A players from the pro players. Like, can you make the adjustments? And we'll see. Like, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't, for the fact he hasn't been past high A. Like that's the reason they take the steps sometimes, is to kind of learn and make the adjustments throughout a season.
Totally.
We'll see. But again, the Tigers aren't expected to win, so maybe they just let him get his scars in the bigs. So we'll see how it goes. It'll be fun, though. It'll be very, very fun. The Tigers have been fun so far. They're beating teams, and it's entertaining. Let's talk to Houston Astros real quick. They're an interesting ball club for the fact that, you know, everyone hated them last year. Some people still do. Their offense was just all around bad last year. Just as a team, they just couldn't hit. I, for one, was like buying back in because they were all very affordable. Not all, but like Bregman's and Altuve. The guys I was interested in were very affordable. And they've come out swinging back. Jordan's swinging. Kyle Tucker's ridiculous. Like, this whole offense is clicking. Yeah. Are you a believer that these guys are back? Like, these are the AL West contenders we've seen from previous years to watch out for?
Sure. Totally. I mean, we were discounting, or many people were discounting Houston because, all the stuff around them. But, I mean, these are great hitters. This is a loaded lineup. If you go to the track record, you know, I mean, it's hard to bet against Jose Altuve, for example. He is a professional hitter in terms of, I mean, all of them are professional hitters because they get paid, but he is one guy that can consistently hit. Jordan Alvarez, I mean, if it weren't because of his knee problems, he would be a second rounder easily.
Oh, easily, you know? Easily, yeah.
So there is the Kyle Tucker, all these guys. Carlos Correa is going back to his old ways. So, I mean, it's a loaded lineup, and I totally believe they are firm contenders. They you have to count them in as a contenders. It would be a little bit risky to not.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see it. It's fun now with fans in the stands. It's going to be. The A's were playing, as you probably saw, they were having some fun with them. Like, when they were introducing their teams, they were facing, like, the Carrie Underwood Before He Cheats song and stuff like that. Yeah. I respect trolling like that. That's entertaining.
Oh, sure.
Like, it's harmless. Sure. It's harmless. It's not – they're not making fun of, like, their grandmas and stuff. It's, like, it's harmless stuff. So I enjoy that quite a bit. Sure. J.D. Martinez, a player that, if you're a baseball fan, you love. If you're a fantasy baseball fan, you usually love. Horrible year last year. He admitted it. He said the video thing was big for him. You could see things were different. He made approaches at the plate because he was pushing for it. Well, I think it's safe to say he figured something out because he's hitting everything right now. Are we believing that we're going to get the perennial, not triple crown guy, but just fantasy stud this year from what we've seen early on?
It looks like, I mean, the way he's hitting this way, that's the old JD that we were used to. I'm a little worried about the exit velocities we're seeing these days because of with the change of the ball. Mm-hmm. It looks like everybody is rising their exit velocities, not which necessarily has not translated into longer distances because of what they did to the ball, which is not clear yet, but it looks there's more exit velocity, but there's also more drag. So that's something we still are not really clear about how will it affect. So I would say if anyone could get an advice from me, which of course you don't have to, but be aware of that this exit velocities might be not what we are thinking about them.
Yeah.
So putting that aside, JD, we know he's a good hitter. He had a decline for the past couple of years in his max exit velocity, which is that worries everyone. Not everyone is Mr. Father Time, Nelson Cruz, that can, you know, just
my goodness.
How can you not love the Nelson Cruz? I mean, he's doing everything to make everyone look like a fool every year. You know,
it's awesome.
I personally drafted some places, but I wasn't that confident, to be honest.
Because you know, eventually Father Time is going to win. Eventually, it's going to happen. When, I don't know, but most guys don't come into their 40s and hit a foul ball grand slam, and the next pitch hit a grand slam. Like, you just don't do that. Like in your 40s.
Yeah, that was incredible. That was, you know, as good baseball as you can get when that happened. So thinking going back to JD, I mean, he's had a decline in his max exit velocity, which it's not good when because it means you are getting old, especially. But which was his ADP? I can't even remember. He wasn't on my radar, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me. Top of my head, it was late double digits, maybe even into the hundreds. Like, he was kind of in that realm, it seems like.
Yeah.
So a lot cheaper than usual. Yeah.
So Martinez's owners are going to be very happy this year, because he's gonna give them a lot of good return on that.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be interesting, because I like what we've seen so far, but you did make a good point. And one thing that's a really good point is the baseballs. It's weird, because if you're just watching the games, I'm still seeing a ton of home runs. Like, the Giants are hitting home runs everywhere, and you just don't see that. So it makes you go, okay, well, they're still using the same baseball. But then you see some other games where a guy crushes a ball and it doesn't go anywhere. And a lot of it's the drag, the launch angle. Like, Toby was breaking it down more on the last show. That's what Toby does. But it's going to be real interesting when they get more research on this to see how, like you said, the max exit velocities, like we're used to saying, are good. Maybe aren't, like, maybe we have to, like, move the scale. Like, it's going to be interesting to see what really is good now. So
I've seen a lot of conversation from, you know, the sharp guys around it, Chamberlain, Connor, and Octavio Hernandez from Venezuela, and they agree that there might be to do. We might need to do some adjustment from what we've seen already. So that's something we have to keep an eye for going forward.
I'm looking forward to seeing how that comes to be. The last guy I have on the list here, and this is a guy that's a kryptonite of mine. You mentioned Tyler Glass. Now I am about getting shares of. I didn't have any shares because I wanted to see a third pitch. Well, the third pitch looks pretty darn good, so I'm already regretting that through two starts.
Yeah.
Dustin May, I wanted nothing to do with because he couldn't strike anybody out. Like, he's the greatest Alex Fast gif you could ever get. Like, he's going to get multiple a game. It's fun. He just doesn't strike anybody out. Well, lo and behold, six innings, eight strikeouts in his debut against the A's, and the A's offense has been bad. So let's see him do it a few more times.
Sure.
So I guess I'm answering the question for myself already. I'm not fully buying in yet. Are you buying in that maybe Dustin May is going to meet the expectations everyone's always had?
Not mine, to be honest. I'm with you there, and I would still need to see that again. Because differently to Wheeler's, for example, Wheeler's been doing that from the end of last year.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin May, he did it out of nowhere, to be honest, here. So it might look like the same, but it's not the same. So I'm on wait and see for him. I didn't also get any shares of him anywhere, because, as you said, he's an amazing gifts pitcher. He provides this sorcery when he throws things that you don't know how is it even physically possible for a ball to do that. But guys weren't striking out. So, I mean, I have to see more.
Yeah, I do too. It's like, his stuff's so good, I think it's almost like guys go, okay, he's throwing a slider, I'm just not going to swing. Because it's like either going to be in the zone or it's like 40 feet this way. So I'm not going to look like a fool here. I'm just going to sit and watch it. So it's one of those, maybe if he starts commanding these things better, then when you go out of the zone, like it's your whole zone O-swing thing, maybe that starts looking better, and then we start seeing something like, oh, now the strikeouts are going up. Now we're getting there. Yeah. Okay, now it makes more sense. So we'll see. Like, it's never been a thing about his quality of his stuff. It's more just putting it all together.
Sure.
yeah, so that'll be interesting to see. And Gonsolin going to the IL. He'll be there for a while now, it looks like. So that'll be another one. But, Carlos, that's going to wrap it up. I had a lot of fun chatting with you tonight. Before we leave, remind everybody where they can find you on Twitter, where they can find your work, like what you got coming up. Plug away. The floor is yours, whatever you want.
Well, I want to say first that I'm really happy to be here, Baba. I mean, I loved your podcast, and as I said, if anyone wants to be reinforced, besides having to hear me, the other guests are really good. So keep listening to Baba. You can. I usually do my ramblings on Twitter at CA Marcano. These days I'm a little bit more busier than usual, but that is where I usually say my stuff. I keep working with Pitcher List. This Friday I should have a Zach Wheeler article, which I think might be interesting for some. And I also, from time to time, do contributions to Prospects 365 with Ray and six-man rotation with Connor, Jason, all the great Reese White and all the great guys over there, which are really, really cool bunch of people.
Yeah, no, great, great guys for sure. And you do awesome work, man. I'm glad we finally crossed paths and got to chat a little bit. I'm looking forward to doing this again with you sometime. So I guess until then, we'll fight it out in our TGFBI league. So that's going to be a fun one. It's you, me, yeah. Zach. It's a fun league. Fun league we got going on there.
Totally. And right as we speak, let me check. Oh, man, you're 4 points ahead of me.
It's early. My team's my biggest problem, I've said it year after year, and it's not every team I have, but my good teams, they start out really strong, and then I have trouble continuing things. Like, it's like eventually the season's so long, if they call it a marathon, and eventually there's like I'm either too hesitant to make a move or something, and it just slowly starts, and then I have to fight back, and it's too late. So we'll see what happens.
That's the beauty, but it's also the hustle and I don't know, the grinding that comes with the baseball season. That's why it's a sport like no other. But yeah. We are so happy, and this is a gift. Baseball is a gift.
I love your attitude on that, because it truly is. Like, some people just kind of say things, but I know just by hearing you say it, I can believe it. But like when it's opening day or you get to go watch a ball game, it's like the coolest. Like, it's the most fun you're gonna have for a while. Oh, yeah. It's just like I love going. San Jose is a little over an hour from where I live. That's where Single A Giants are. I go to more games there than the actual San Francisco games, because I can just sit there in the little bleachers, watch a ball game. You can hear the sounds. It's not like you're all like, I love every minute of it. I've gone by myself before. I go I just go pay like $10, go sit in the bleachers and have a good time. So I love baseball, and I can definitely sense it from you as well. So maybe someday our cross will pass in real life and we can go catch a ball game. So I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Oh, man. That would be awesome. Until
next time, Carlos, we'll have to stick to recording podcasts. So I'll have you back again sometime. I appreciate it. But everybody, this was Bench with Bubba, episode 361 with Carlos Marcano. Make sure you check him out on Twitter at CA Marcano. And we'll catch you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance, because you'll feel protected no matter how the wind blows. Also, you can keep enjoying the home of your dreams. And our expert agents can help you save up to 23% when you bundle home with auto. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.